Father, I thank you, Lord. This morning I give you, Lord, glory, praise, and honor. We say, hallowed be thy name. And we say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, even as it is in heaven. We want to thank you, Lord, today for all your children gathered here at this moment, and those that will listen in later on. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And so we claim that understanding and that revelation and that encouragement for ourselves today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, the Bible says, if any man speaks, let him speak as an oracle of God. Praise God. Therefore, Lord, as we stand in the message of the Lord, the word of the Lord to your people today, let it bring indeed. Let it bring peace. Let it bring quietness. Let it bring assurance. Let it bring rest to your people. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I started this topic yesterday. And I said yesterday, part one, because more will be coming. And today, I want to talk some more on the things that God has, you know, done and purchased for our peace. That's right. And for our quietness, for our assurance, and for our rest. I'll be focusing more on healing, health, and wellness today, because without these things, we will be troubled. And yesterday we spoke briefly about the woman that was troubled for 12 years because of the issue of blood that she had, and how she went about looking for one doctor or the other. In fact, the scripture says she had spent all her living on doctors and was nothing made better at all. You know, so that's not a place of quietness. That's not a place of rest. That's not a place of peace. You know, so we're going to look at the promises of God. In fact, you know, among all the things that we should enjoy from the Lord, I think this area of healing and health and so on, just, scripture has devoted more verses of scripture to this area than perhaps everything else. I mean, because there's just so many scriptures that talk about healing and health and wellness, because that's what God wants us to have. And why? You know, because, well, you know, when we are sick and when we don't have the good health, it's really hard to flourish and do the things of God and even to have an abundant life. You know, we see that when people are sick, sometimes they could be so sick that they can't even speak on their own behalf or pray for themselves. You know, a loved one has to stand the gap. Their friends and their brethren have to stand the gap, you know. And but sometimes it's very draining, you know, very, very draining. So we're going to look at some scriptures of encouragement, you know, to see what the Lord is saying to us, you know, when we are sick and when these kind of things happen. Or if you know someone who's sick and the things, you know, that may befall them from time to time. The promises of God for us, they are yea and they are amen in Christ Jesus. We looked at some scriptures yesterday that covered mostly rest, a few scriptures about peace, but mostly rest. That was yesterday's lesson. Today's aspect will be mostly healing and health and wellness. I want to read some scriptures to us to see what the Lord has promised us throughout the scriptures, from beginning to the end. Even clear on to the book of Revelation, God is still talking about healing. All the way to the book of Revelation, he's talking about the tree of life, whose leaves will bring healing to the nations. I mean, that's how important it is for God, you know. All the way to the book of Revelation, he's still talking about it. You know, so let's see some things. There's a lot of scriptures. I'm not sure how much of it I'll be able to cover today, but I'll just cover as much as we can. You know, we start out from when God was dealing with the children of Israel and pulled them out of Egypt, taking them to the promised land. This one here is a popular scripture that the Lord gave. You know, the Lord said unto them in Exodus 15 and 26, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Well, if you do all those things, then I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now that last phrase is the one that we want to concentrate upon. However, there are some preconditions at the beginning of that verse. Hearkening to his voice, doing that which is right in his sight, not the things that are right in our own eyes, or even the eyes of the society, but what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Giving ear to his commandments and keeping his statutes. All those things together qualify us for the continuous healing that we can enjoy from the Lord. I am the Lord that healeth thee, present continuous. So I'm the Lord that will heal you, continue to heal you. And well, that alone tells us that there may be situations where we will need this healing. You know, Jesus one time was talking about those that might need healing. He said, well, it is not those who are well that need a physician, which you might call doctor or whatever, but it is those that are sick. So Jesus himself acknowledges that when you are sick, you need a physician, or you might, you know, need some help. And the Lord here, he promises that he is the one that will heal us, you know, and not only heal us, you'll see later on as we look at some of these scriptures, not only can God heal and wants to heal us, but he wants to remove the sicknesses from our lives so that we can enjoy and have abundant life. The way to have peace, you know, also includes quietness from fear and from oppression of sickness and all of these things. So let's look at a few more scriptures. Exodus 23, verses 25 and 26. And ye shall serve the Lord your God. Again, you see that many of these promises have some conditions. Here it says, you will serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That's a powerful promise. Now, so God acknowledges that sickness may be there inside your body or among us, the brethren. From the midst of thee, it could be from the midst of the congregation, you know, in their community, there will be wellness. From the midst of thee can even be literally taken as, you know, something inside your body. However which way you want to look at it, the word of God is beautiful for every situation. As we go through these promises, I want us to recognize and learn and retain one thing. When you see something in the Word of God, you can use it. There are people that have quoted things in the Word of God, which initially you would not even think that that thing was meant for that, but they will quote it anyway. And, and the Lord would stand by it. Many times people would say, well, it is written. The mouth of the prophet said, as the Lord said, by this prophet and so on. They just quote the things. And whether or not the mind may argue that, well, that's what it wasn't for. Well, it's in the Word of God. And the Lord backs it up. When you quote the Word of God and you use it for your situation, ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. Well, let's put it this way. Jesus, in a way, referred to this by saying that, nothing you drink or whatever will hurt you, when he sent out his disciples. And the Lord will bless your bread. There's many ways you can look at that. He will bless your water as well. Well, it could be he will take a little that you have and increase it. It could be he could put a blessing on it so that it removes any poisoning or anything that was toxic. You can look at it any which way you want. But he also says, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And there shall nothing cast her young, nor be barren in thy land. All the number of thy days I will fulfill. Well, that's a powerful promise as well. Nothing cast her young. That means, either in the midst of pregnancy, they won't lose it. Or when they just a newborn baby will not lose it either. And nobody will be barren. They will be fruitful. And the number of your days I will fulfill. Whatever that is, whatever is upon it, the Lord will fulfill it. You can actually get, can get more days by desiring it. The scripture says, who is it that loveth life and desire to see good days? Well, let him eschew evil and serve the Lord in their heart, pursue peace and keep it. So even Psalm 91 promises us long life. He said, with long life will I satisfy you. Well, what is long life really? People live to be, 80 years old these days, and they think they have long life. That's not very long in my opinion. There's long life in the scriptures that people enjoyed. In the beginning, they enjoyed hundreds of years. Some of them even lived to be over 900 years. And we saw that the light was fading away from them. Fading away, fading away, fading away. And in their generations, they started living shorter and shorter lives. But even still, some of them lived to be many years. Abraham, Isaac, the rest of them, 167, 100 and this, 100 and that. So with long life will I satisfy you. But what good is long life if it's not lived in abundance of wellness and health? That's why Jesus said in John 10 and 10, he said, look, I have come to give you life and that more abundantly. So we're not going to live long in sickness. That doesn't do anybody any good. We're not going to live long, as a vegetable on the couch where you can't do anything. What good is that to anybody? So God wants us to be well, and he wants to heal us. And in combination with health that we may get from physicians, which, by the way, I should say, it's all over the Bible. We should also use the Word of God. Now, what God doesn't want is not for us to put... he doesn't want us to put all our trust in physicians only without trusting in the Lord. But if you can get help from physicians, that's great. But trust in the Lord also. It's a story about the life of Asa, king of Judah. In his days, he started to decline. He had a decline in his relationship with God. And, you know, it came to the point where, you know, at the beginning, he was glad to hear the word of God. If a prophet came to him, he was glad to hear it. And towards the end of his life, he became arrogant, you know, and wouldn't even receive the rebuke from the prophet, put him in prison and all of that, and started to even oppress his people. And, you know, it turned out that the Lord was angry with him, and he was sick. Had, you know, some kind of disease in his feet. I think it might have been Graves' disease. Today we'll call it Graves' disease, right? Had does that in his feet. And, you know, but instead of seeking to the Lord, the Bible says he sought not the Lord, you know, but to the physicians only. Now, it wasn't that if he had sought the physicians, the Lord wouldn't have been angry as long as he sought the Lord. But in this particular case, you know, he consulted only the physicians. And some people read that and take it as if it means that, you know, when you need help, you shouldn't get it. Doesn't mean that at all. Because Jesus himself, you know, said that the sick are the ones that need the physicians. So, you know, just to, because I want to make this a comprehensive study so that people understand. Let me just read one or two verses for you from 2 Chronicles 16. When you have time, you can read 2 Chronicles chapters 14, 15, 16, show you the story of Asa. There's a lot of lessons to learn from him there. And, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, from verse 11, say, behold the acts of Asa, first and last. Lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Verse 12, and Asa in the 39th year, that's 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, you know, until the disease was exceeding great. We might today call it Graves' disease. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Now, because of this, some people say, well, you shouldn't seek to the physicians, but that's not what they say. If he had sought the Lord, even along with getting help from the physicians, you know, he would not have been chastised. And his memory would have been written a different way. But when we need help, we should get it. The trouble with people is, you know, sometimes we are obstinate and we don't use wisdom. We don't get the help we need at time. And then when the thing gets completely out of hand, then we start to seek for help, which we should have sought in the first place. You know, and then sometimes it's a little bit too late. You know, so let's use wisdom even as you read and go through these scriptures. This is a disclaimer. I am saying, putting this out as a disclaimer, that by these scriptures and this lesson, I am not saying that you should not seek medical help. And that's a disclaimer. You should. But also remember, you know, the Lord is the one that actually can heal us. Medical science cannot heal. They can help you manage the situation, but only God can truly heal. So let's be aware of that. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. And the Lord said, you know, to the children of Israel, the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all that hate thee. You know, the Lord will take all sickness away from you. Pretty much the same thing as was said in Exodus 23. You know, now, These are powerful promises that we should claim. Now, when God says one thing, we covered this in a previous lesson, contradictions. When God says one thing and the opposite happens, or the opposite lingers, when God says, I'm the Lord, I healeth thee, but your sickness and symptoms, symptoms linger, what should you do? Should you give up and throw in the towel? No, you go back to the word of God and continue to use the word of God. You do whatever it is you need to do from the wellness point of view, but you continue to use the word of God. Continue to quote the word of God, even as he said it. Praise the Lord. You know, there is a catch-all kind of promise that the Lord gave us. I call it catch-all because it's all-encompassing. In Psalm 91, verses 9 and 10, there is an all-encompassing promise there. And he says, because thou hast made the Lord. Now, you see, again, that's the premise to the promise. There is a precondition. You know, for this person who has made the Lord his habitation, well, then there shall no evil befall you. That's the reason. The reason no evil should befall you is because you are living inside the Lord. It's like you are inside Fort Knox. you are living inside, a fortress. The psalmist called the Lord my fortress all the time. You're living inside a fortress. You are fortified all around you by the glory of his presence. And when you are inside of him, then he said, no evil shall befall you because you are inside of him. And no plague shall come near thy dwelling. Now, if you are inside of him and yet evil is knocking at your door and yet, plague is knocking, then you need to stand your ground, claim the scriptures and use the scriptures and say, the Lord has said, no evil shall befall me. Neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. A plague of disease, none of these things, and you begin to use the word of God. I know that a lot of you know how to do it, but we must continue to do it. And that's how it works. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What are those benefits? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and who healeth. Again, that's present continuous. You're sick today, he'll heal you tomorrow as well. He healed you yesterday, he'll heal you today, he'll heal you tomorrow. Who healeth all thy diseases. Hallelujah. Redeemeth thy life from destruction, covereth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Satisfy your mouth with good things, renew your youth like the eagles. So powerful promises. We must always have, in our pocket to use when situation arises. Psalm 107, verses 19 and 20. He talks about the story of the children of Israel, how many times they were rebellious, but every time they called upon the Lord, then the Lord was merciful, and he saved them out of all their distresses. He said, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word. I love this one. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Now, that means at any time we can dispatch the word of God for yourself, for your loved ones, for your friends, for your brethren, wherever they are. They may be in the same house. They may be in the same city. They may be in the same state, in the same country, or even not. They may be anywhere. Doesn't matter. Sent means there's a distance between the place of origin and the place where it's going. It wasn't, so no matter where they are, we can send the word of God. That word is powerful. The scripture says, and we can sent that word. The Lord sent his word and healed them. So we know that the word of God carries healing. And we can use it for ourselves. Praise the Lord. Even the book of Proverbs talks about healing that comes, you know, from the word of God. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, from verse 20, my son, attend to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For this word, the word of the Lord, be life unto those that find it and health to all their flesh. That means the word of God can bring health to us. Hallelujah. The word of God brings you health. Praise the Lord. Isaiah, you know, this one is not directly about healing, but it's a promise that God will help you no matter what situation you are in, which applies also when you are in distress due to sickness in your body or a loved one. Fear thou not, Isaiah 41 and 10, for I am with thee. You know, devil loves to use fear as a portal, you know, to destroy us. You know, if that fear can get in there, you open the door and all kinds of negative things will get in there. And so the Lord said, fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You know, there are many times that Jesus used to try to put away that fear. You know, somebody just died and everybody's crying and so forth. And Jesus gets there and say, fear not, you know, because when you are afraid, you really can't receive that miracle. So Jesus tried to put that fear out. And he says, yeah, fear not, I am with you. That's the reason why you should not be afraid, because the Lord is with you, you know. And the reason you should not be dismayed or discouraged is because the Lord is your God. And I will strengthen you, he says. I will help you. You know, sometimes you say, where is my help coming from? Well, my help cometh from the Lord. I will help thee and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Sometimes we are really tired. I mean, caring for a loved one that's sick for years or days or months, sometimes you could be tired. The Lord said, I will help you. I will uphold you. You say, well, why doesn't he help me early then? Well, he will, actually. You know, by virtue of these lessons that we are receiving today and that we have received before, you know, the Lord's been telling us that you should wait for it and don't be weary. Even if things look opposite of what he said, just stay right there with the word of God. It's going to come back like God said it. Now, I cannot tell you, other than what we read in the scriptures, why sometimes things are delayed. I can't tell you that I have an answer to every question that is in people's heart. You know, I've been believing God. You know, I've been reading his word. I've been quoting the word of God, but yet my situation is not changed. You know, why? You know, all I can say is stay right there with the word of God. Though it tarry, he says, well, it won't tarry, but even though it tarries, he says, wait for it. It won't tarry long. Stay right there with it and continue to use the word. That's all we can do. You know, nobody has all the answers, but one thing we know is the word of God will not fail. Use that word. Use that word. We have a cloud of witnesses that we have heard from people that have used the word of God for, you know, serious situations, deadly diseases, you know, alongside with whatever help they're getting medically. They continue to use the word of God, and we've heard and seen many testimonies. Here is a prophetic declaration of all the things that Jesus would do for us, which actually he did. In Isaiah chapter 53, we read, surely he has borne our griefs, verses 4 and 5, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But it wasn't because of his own sins, but it was for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Did you know that all the beatings, you know, sometimes the way we think of the beatings that Christ took, we just think of the healing. No, it wasn't just the healing. You know, the stripes are for the healing, but the beating themselves were for our peace. You know, when he was beaten, that was for your peace. You know, that thing left on scars on his body, that's what called stripes. That's for your healing. But the very beating he took is for your peace as well. He's paid for it. So we must have peace. And we don't have peace when our lives is plagued with sickness. So this element of today's lesson is to see how we contend for that peace by using these scriptures. Praise the Lord. Contend. 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 Remember what the Lord said concerning his word. He said, my word that goeth forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void. Isaiah 55 and 11. But he will accomplish that which I please, and he shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So if you take this word, combine it with Psalm 107 verse 20, where it says he sent his word, you know, for the healing of the people. You take these two verses, then you send that word. The Bible says, you know, that word will accomplish the thing that I please and prosper in that whereunto I sent it. So if we send the word of God to heal somebody, then we must believe and wrap our faith around the fact of this, you know, unchangeable promise. Remember, we talked about the immutability of God's counsel. Now, all these lessons that we covered in these rooms, they all go together. So God's word will prosper when you send it. Send it, you know, as an arrow of God's deliverance to somebody that needs it. You know, somebody that needs healing, send it to them. Send it in the morning, send it in the afternoon, send it in the evening, send it the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. Jesus himself said that. He said, look, you know, in Luke chapter 18, he told us this parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That was in a city, he said, a judge that cared for nobody, you know. And, you know, there was in that same city a widow that came and said, avenge me of this and that. And the judge would not listen for a while. But because the woman kept doing it and kept pestering him, if you want to put it that way, finally he said, look, I mean, the woman would stand there and they would drive her away, close the doors, you know, courthouse is now closed, go away. Well, she'll go away, she'll come back the next day. You know, and she'll be there all day trying to get her case in, trying to get on the docket, you might call it that. But she wouldn't, they wouldn't, you know, give her the light of day. You drive her away. She come back the next day. She begin to raise her voice. Disruption, disruption in the courtroom. Court might bang the, you know, gavel and so on. And, you know, she'll be making noise. They get her out of there. And she come back the next time, make some more noise. So finally, this, you know, she hasn't really done anything wrong for them to arrest her. She's just making noise in the court and they get her out of there. And every time she comes back. So finally, the judge thinks within himself, okay, well, this woman is so disruptive. I can't have any peace. She's always here in my ear every day. What is it that she really wants? Praise the Lord. You know, finally he said, look, you know, it's not because I really care about her, but the only way to get rid of her is give her what she wants and let her get out of here. And Jesus told that story, ladies and gentlemen. You know, every time I consider that story, I'm like, wow. Jesus is inviting you to bug the Lord until he gives you the thing. You know, that's what Jesus is saying in this story. He said, look, consider what the unjust judge said. And shall not even God, you know, avenge his own elect that cry unto him day and night, though he tarried long with them? Of course, he will. You know, and Isaiah chapter 62 verse 7 tells us the same thing. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest. Keep not silence and give him no rest until he establish the thing that you are believing God for. Do it today, do it tomorrow. Do it in the morning, do it in the afternoon, do it in the evening. Now, we've covered this before on this platform where some people struggle with, well, Is it unbelief if I pray about the same thing again? No. Because the scripture says you should. You know, but when you do, mingle it with praise and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. You know, but don't say, oh, I prayed about it once. I mean, there's some religious spirit that would tell you that. You prayed about it once, you know, and then you don't have to pray it about it. That's inaccurate. The scripture says men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the scripture says, don't give the Lord any rest. You pray in the morning, you pray in the evening, you pray in the noontime. You pray whenever, you know, you keep on bugging him, you know. Well, yeah, you are allowed to do that. In fact, Jesus invited us to do that. And then until you get what you are believing God for, stay right there. He gave other stories. You know, a friend that goes to knock on his friend's house, you know, a man goes to knock on his friend's house in the night to say, look, you know, I've got a friend that came from out of town. The stores are now closed and I don't have any bread in the house. Lend me a few loaves. I'll give you one in the morning when the store opens. The man said, go away. My children, I'm dead. I can't do this. So, but the man from outside, that stands outside, continues to knock. You know, so the only way to not let this man wake up his children is quickly get up and give the man what he wants. Jesus said it, these stories himself. You know, he said, look, not because he's his friend, but because of his importunity. Because the man would not go away unless you give him what he wants. And by Jesus telling us all these stories, you know, that's telling us that, look, don't you give up in prayer, especially in this area of healing. Because no matter how long it takes, no matter, you stay with the word and you keep using the word of God, you know, and the Lord, he'll come through eventually for us. Praise the Lord. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 30, you know, and verse 17, there's a point blank promise. You know, thus said the Lord, I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. You know, this is in order for you to have peace and to have quietness and to have rest. Your wounds will be healed, and I will restore your health, saith the Lord. You know, so you will not have to be running helter-skelter. You will not have to spend all your living on doctors like that woman did. The Lord said, I will restore health unto you. Restore means you had it once, but you lost it. The Lord said, I'll restore it unto you. Wounds, it could be anything, you know, any kind of wound, you know, maybe sometimes we can see wounds physically on our body. Sometimes as internal bleeding or whatever it is, there may be some infection, whatever is not right inside our system. The Lord said, I will heal thee of thy wounds. Praise the Lord. You know, so that's a powerful, powerful promise. And all the things that the Lord has promised us, we've already covered this in a previous lesson, that his promises are not yo-yo or this yes or maybe no and all that. His promises are yea and amen. So combine that with these promises of healing and use it for yourself. Use it on your loved one as well. Praise the Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. And unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Now that's a point blank declaration. If you fear the name of the Lord, now, then you've got a promise. He calls himself the Son of Righteousness here. And you know what the Son does. The Son is what gives life. The Son is what gives brightness. And as long as, you know, I mean, then the Son begins to shine, it dispels darkness. And the Lord is revealing an attribute of himself here. He said, you know, it's like when you see the sun rise, sometimes science will even tell you Sunrise today in Phoenix, Arizona is going to be at 5:37 a.m. They'll tell it, they'll predict it to you exactly. Well, you want to go out there and watch the sunrise? Sometimes it's beautiful if you can catch it. And the sunset sometimes also is beautiful if you can catch it. And they say, look, you know, when you see that sunrise, sometimes it's like it's just lifting itself. You know, you can just watch it. It's like it's lifting itself out of the horizon. You know, you can't see it if you have houses blocking your view. You got to go to a place, you know, it's clear view. And it's a beautiful sight if you ever see it. And, you know, like when it looks like it's rising like that, well, the Lord says, well, there is healing in that thing that you see that makes it looks like it's lifting itself up. For you today, as the sun rises, it's bringing healing. It's what he's saying. Praise God. Now, is there a day where the sun will not rise? Well, that day is a day of gloominess. It's a day of sadness. You know, it's a day of sorrow. You know, I mean, there was a time in my career some years ago, I used to do traveling as I was consulting, and I would travel all over this country, different places and so forth. There was a time that I was in a few places. The places were miserable. You know, they never had sunshine. Never seen any such thing. I mean, look, in Arizona, thanks, glory to God, in Phoenix, it's called the Valley of the Sun. You know, I love the sun. You know, I'm under the sun all the time. But, you know, some of these places in the winter months, there's no sun at all. I mean, a lot of the people were depressed that I was in that state. I don't want to mention any names, but I was in this state in the winter of some months. I mean, some winter months or some year, and I was there, and the place, there was no sunshine. I mean, in the morning, it was gloomy. In the afternoon, it was gloomy. I mean, you would always think it's either going to be snowing, it's not going to be raining, it's always cloudy. I mean, you don't know when it is night or day. Everything is dark. I mean, by 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's already dark. I mean, I'm like, what kind of a place is this? And I look at the people, they're miserable. They're sad. They're gloomy, you know. But, you know, the sunshine, I'm from, you know, well, that's another state that likes to call themselves Sunshine State. Well, I think it's actually Arizona, you know, but, you know, I love the sunshine, you know, thank God I live in this place. There's not a day in Phoenix, Arizona that the sun will not rise. There's no single day, you know, even the temperature may be 20 degrees. You know, sometimes it gets that low in the winter, but still the sun will rise, and I love it. And it speaks to me all the time. I'm like, well, as long as this sun is rising today, I've got healing. Because when that sun lifts itself up and you see him rise over like that in the horizon, God promises healing to you. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you will go forth and grow up as calves in the stall because you fear the name of the Lord. So you use this scripture. You establish your claim. Isaiah 43:26 says, produce your strong cause. I mean, you come in here, you tell the Lord, you say, let us plead together. You come in here and you tell the Lord, you say, look, you said that because we fear your name, here's what we will experience. You know, and you put it that way. That's exactly what Hezekiah did when Isaiah came to tell him that he was going to die of his sickness. Hezekiah said, well, Lord, you know how I have walked in your ways and in the integrity of my heart. You know, that's fearing the Lord. And he's going to use that fact to claim something. That's right. You know, so you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I thank you for my life. You know, you've given me the heart to believe God from my youth and up. I believe God. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you are using it to give glory to God, not to boast in your anything. And he said, look, Lord, you know how I walked and feared the Lord in the integrity of my heart and how I tremble at your word. Now, therefore, Lord, you said, you know, if I do this, you will do that. I've done this, therefore do that. You know, and we continue to make our case with the Lord. And it's a good thing. You know, to make your case with the Lord, the Son of Righteousness will arise for you every day that the sun rises. you get healing. It rises with healing. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. There are two scriptures that tell us to argue like this with the Lord. Argue. Present your case. One is found in Isaiah 41 and verse 21. It says, "Produce your cause, saith the Lord, and bring forth your strong reasons." Well, let them bring it forth. Yeah, well, okay. So, you know, even though he might have been, you know, saying it to them to rebuke them for certain things, but it is in the word of God. So I take it and I say, well, Lord, you know, you said I should produce my strong reason. I should produce my cause. Okay. Then I cross over to Isaiah 43 and 26, and he pretty much says the same thing again. He said, look, let us plead together, you know, and put me in remembrance. He actually challenges us to do that. Not that God ever forgets anything, but he's asking you, and actually he's commanding us and instructing us and inviting us to remind him of what he already said. You know, so we must. You remind him, you tell it to him, you say, this is what you said, and you said it, and I believe it, and I'm reminding you, and you stake your claim. This is really staking your claim on the promises of God. And you keep on doing it until you see results. Praise the Lord. You know, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare it again that thou mightest be justified. That's right. You know, the reason we're going to get what we are asking from the Lord through resilience and persistence in prayer is because he promised it. And he invited us to do so. So, we take advantage of it and we do it. Praise the Lord. I've covered a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament. I'm going to go through the New Testament and cover many scriptures as well. I may not be able to finish this today as I have so many scriptures about healing, what Jesus did. See, now we're going to look at the story of Jesus. When he came, remember Isaiah prophesied that he was going to do these things. It's going to be, you know, carry our iniquities. You know, it's going to take upon him, you know, punishment for our peace. We're going to be healed by his stripes, all these things. And well, Jesus came in the spirit of the Lord. He said, Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 3. He said, this scripture was written about me. One day he went to the synagogue, after being in the wilderness and being tempted of the devil, he went into the synagogue, stood up for to read. You can read that in Luke chapter 4. They gave him the scrolls of Isaiah. And he found the place that was written, which we now call Isaiah chapter 61. And he quoted it. And then he handed the book back to them and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Which means, quoting that scripture about himself, is ready to step into that thing that Isaiah said he would do. There's a lot of things Isaiah said he would do. And Jesus announced it. It was his mission statement. You might call that his mission statement. This is what the Spirit of God said I would do. Okay. I'm announcing that I'm going to do it. And he gives the book to them. They are fasting all their eyes on him. And he said, well, you heard it. This is the fulfillment of the scripture. Now, I'm going to do all these things that the scripture said I'm going to do. And even then, you know, when Herod had laid his hands on John the Baptist and put him in prison and so forth, you know, John said, well, he sent, called a couple of his disciples, said, go to Jesus and ask him, is he the one that we're waiting for, or should we look for another? Why in the world would you ask a question like that? You're the one that introduced him. How did Jesus answer the question? Well, he refers him back to the same mission statement. He said, well, go show, not exactly tell, but go show John the things that you see. You know? the blind see, the, you know, deaf hear, you know, this and this, you know, gospel preached to the poor. And he basically repeated the same thing. These are the things I'm doing. If I do not the works that the scripture says I should do, then don't believe me. But if I do them, even though you believe me not, believe for the works sake. This is what he used to tell people. And so he stepped into that ministry that said he's going to heal us. And he began to do it. And let's read some places where he actually did it. And how the scripture referred to the things that said he would do. You know, here in the book of Matthew chapter 8, we read from verses 16 and 17. It said, at even time, when evening was come, they brought unto him, that's Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits by his word, and he healed all that were sick that brought to him. You know, didn't heal everybody, but he healed those that were brought to him, you know, that it might be fulfilled. You know, Jesus doing these things in order to fulfill what was already said about him, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet concerning him, that himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Jesus was doing exactly that. You know, he did it. He went from place to place. He did it for that very reason. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing. See, now, gospel must be accomplished with healing. If there's no healing, there's no deliverance power with the gospel, that's a weak gospel. Get that weak stuff out of here. But the gospel must be demonstrated by the Holy Ghost and power. That's how Jesus and the early apostles did it. You know, they went about, Jesus, in fact, we're told, went about doing good, doing these things. And, you know, in fact, when he sent them out, he told them to do the same thing. You'll see it in a bit. Now, Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease that he encountered among the people, wherever he went. Now, that's what he did, you know, in fulfillment of what the prophecies said he would do. And remember, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if he did that then, he's still doing it today and still will do it. And Jesus himself, when he sent out his disciples, you know, to do this thing, he gave them some practice. You might call it, you know, their training. And he sent them out, you know, to go and get some practical experience. Send them out and told them what to do, how they should go and preach the gospel, and empowered them to also heal the sick and do these things. You know, the gospel must be accompanied by healing of the sick. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These people were introducing the concept of the kingdom at that time. Well, along with your preaching, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. So, anytime that there's preaching of the gospel, there must be healing. You know, there must be miracles. We preach the gospel and we do healings and these things. God himself confirming their word with signs following. That's what the Bible said. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. God confirming the signs. They were not preaching signs. They were not preaching wonders. But they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But God will confirm the sign. And when they found somebody sick, they didn't shy away from it. They healed the sick. Let's heal the sick.
You know, that's what they did. Miracles, signs and wonders that the people could not even deny. They took even handkerchiefs, you know, from one person, you know, carrying everywhere, and they healed the sick with it. The shadow of another healed the sick and so on. I mean, these people were just flowing in the spirit. Well, you know, remember, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. And we should also be doing and receiving of the same. In Matthew chapter 15, great multitudes came to him, verse 30, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. You know, whatever the sickness and disease was, didn't matter. They brought them to him and cast them at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So much that the multitudes wondered, because they saw the dumb began to speak. They saw the maimed began to make whole, and the lame began to walk. They saw that the blind began to see, and everybody glorified the God of Israel. These are things that Jesus did then. These are things that Jesus is still doing today, demonstrating to us that Jesus wants us to be healed. Praise the Lord. You know, and is it God's will that we should be healed? Let me dwell on this for a bit. And we'll talk about it. There's a story in Matthew chapter 8. Let's read it from verse 1. When Jesus was come down from the mountain, there were great multitudes that followed him. And behold, there was a man who was leprous. They call him a leper. He came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, now if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And this man, he wasn't sure whether it was the will of God, whether, you know, it's something that Jesus would like to do. Would Jesus like to heal me? But in his heart, it's like, well, Lord, I know if you want to, you can make me whole. Yeah, there's a lot of people that still pray like that today. That's the wrong kind of prayer. That prayer is not accurate. Jesus wants to. You know, I wish above all things that you be in health and your soul should prosper. Be prosper, be in health. Even ask your soul, John 2. But listen to what Jesus said to this man. I will. So that settles it. Be thou clean. Now, Jesus didn't even, there are many times that people come to Jesus, you know, and ask him a question, and he will ask them a question back. They will say something back. You know, is it lawful for us to pay tax? Then he said, well, show me a coin. And all these things. And this debate, back and forth. This time, he didn't. He just put it out there. Straight answer. No going to the left, no stories, no parables, nothing. He just put it out there. Because this man is challenging the very concept of why Jesus came. You know, Jesus announced his mission already. And part of it is deliver them that are in bondage. You know, set the captives free and all these things. And now he's coming and still saying, well, if you will, maybe you can do it. Now, Jesus is not wasting time to tell him a parable here. He's going to tell it to him straight. I will. Hallelujah. Be thou clean. Glory to God. So that settles this question. And immediately we're told that his leprosy was cleansed. The man was cleansed of his leprosy. Now, there are a lot of scriptures where immediately things happened. Well, but there are scriptures that whether they happen immediately or not, we're told that even though it looks like it tarries, wait for it. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe with all my heart that immediately is better. Immediately is better. But, you know, when you walk through the tarrying, it shows ruggedness. Hallelujah. Stay right there with it. You know, no matter how long it takes. But Jesus answered this question right here of whether, is it the will of God that I should be healed? You know, sometimes when people are sick, some people will say, well, it's the will of God. No, it's never the will of God. God said, all these scriptures we have read said, I will take these sicknesses away from the midst of thee. These things can be on the Egyptians, but not you. I'm the Lord that healeth. I mean, why would the Lord put sickness upon you and then heal you? What's the meaning of that? you know, that's walking against himself. If he's the healer, then he's not the one that puts sickness upon. These things happen through many ways and means. One time Jesus told a parable. He said, a good man planted good seed, and while men slept, you know, the enemy came and planted weed among them, you know. And then they woke up in the morning and said, wow, I thought you planted good seed. Why is all this stuff? So, well, an enemy has done this. You know, it's always the enemy. It's not God. You know, God said, Jesus said it himself. He made a comparison in John chapter 10. He said, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, on the other hand, have come to give you life. And that more abundantly, John chapter 10, verse 10. So let us never think that, oh, it's the will of God for us to be sick. You know, that's a slap in God's face. You know, that's not a will of God for us to be sick. It is the will of God for you to be healed. It's the will of God for your loved ones to be healed. Now, we can contract, you know, illness through whatever. Some sicknesses are infectious, contagious, or whatever you call it. It can come up, people, you know, their defense systems may be weakened. Maybe they didn't get enough rest. Maybe they are anxious in their mind. It breaks down their defense systems. They catch an illness. People worry too much. They get ulcers. They get this, and all kinds of things happen. You know, whatever. Sometimes we eat something bad. You know, it makes us sick. You know, and sometimes point blank, the enemy puts it on, but never God. God doesn't put sickness upon his children, maybe upon the wicked, but never upon his children. He said, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which are put upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. It will be contrary for me to be healing you when I put the thing upon you in the first place. That's what he's saying. So let's settle that in our hearts. I'm going to leave today's lesson there. There's more to cover with the scriptures on healing. Let me summarize what we have done today. I brought this lesson about healing from God as part of getting into a place of rest. And this topic is really about, you know, us having peace, quietness, assurance, and rest. But you can't have these things if you are dealing with these chronic diseases and all this stuff in our lives, both in your life or in the life of your loved one. So, you know, we must bring these scriptures that will encourage you and things that you can use to fight off this sickness. The plan and the goal is for us to attain what God said in Isaiah 32, verse 17. This is our theme scripture for this lesson, and I'm going to read it to close today. I'll come back tomorrow. There's more to still be said about healing and etc. But let me read this Isaiah 32 to us again as we close for today. So here is the theme scripture of what God wants us to have. He said, the work of righteousness shall be peace. See? And the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance. These are the things God wants us to have. Peace, quietness, and assurance. Assurance regarding the promises of God. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. This is the plan. This is what God wants for us. This is what we are trying to teach in this particular lesson. How that we can dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Now, we can't have any of those things. We are dealing with these sicknesses that are taking the majority of our day. Therefore, we must bring scriptures that we can use along with medical help to fight off the sicknesses, the illnesses, or whatever the devil's trying to bring our way, so that we can come into health and wellness. Praise God. God wants you to be healed, and God wants you to stay in health. You know, God wants you to be healed. Say that again. And then God wants you to stay in health. Get well, be well, and stay well. Get well if you are sick. Be well, and stay well if you're well. God doesn't want sickness upon us. So I'm going to pray, and I'll leave it there because we're now at the bottom of the hour. And tomorrow I've got a few more scriptures, actually a lot more, on this subject of healing. Like I said, many things about this in the Bible. And I just want to put these as in your hands as tools for you to continue to use. You are assured of victory. It's called assurance. Praise the Lord. That's one of the four elements that we're covering in this series. How to be in peace or be at peace. How to experience and enjoy quietness, assurance, and rest. We talked about rest mostly yesterday. Today we're talking about, even though healing is not in the title topic, if you don't have health, you can't have peace, you can't have quietness, and so on. That's why we're covering it. Let me pray and end today's room here. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ for the word of God that we have shared today. And I want to send that word. You know, the Bible says he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them out of all their distresses. Now, ill health can bring a lot of distresses upon us, as you well know. You have to run up and down to the doctor and this and that, take medication. Sometimes the effect of the medication may even bring other side effects that are even worse. And you have to deal with that as well. That's why only the Lord can truly bring healing. Now, I'm going to send a word of God today, just like the Bible says. And I send that word of healing in the name of Jesus. The Bible says the word of God is quick. That means it's alive and powerful. That's right. And it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And when the Lord sends it, it will accomplish its purpose. It will prosper to do the thing that God pleases. Well, God sent it for our healing and so forth. It can divide asunder the soul and spirit, the joints and marrows. I send the word of God into joints and marrows today. Well, that means the word of God can go in there in the blood factory, you know, and those bones and different things, and recreate blood that has been contaminated, that the enemy has put different things, you know, foul good things up that God made. I send the word of God to do a cleansing in the name of Jesus, wherever it is needed. The blood be cleansed, even in the bone marrows, even in the systems, even in our bodies, in Jesus' name. Listen to this. Joel chapter 3 and verse 21. For I will cleanse your blood, the Lord says, that was not hitherto cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion. He doesn't want any unclean blood. Sickle cell anemia, whatever it is, the Lord will cleanse it. Leukemia, you know, blood diseases, all other kinds of cancers that are in the bone, lymphoma, carcinomas of different kinds. The word of God is able to go in. He said it will be health to thy navel, health inside. You know, you have, you know, intestinal issues and so forth. You know, the Bible says the word of God, go in there. I send the word of God in there. I want everybody to receive that word. You know, God is sending it to you. Receive it. Digest it. Even ingest it. Hallelujah. Ingest it into your system today. Glory to God. And let it go in and do its thing He said, it will prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We pray for healing where it is needed. We pray for deliverance where it is needed. We pray for encouragement where it is needed. We pray for a lifting up where it is needed. In the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.